The previous program was the Gary Knoll Show, heard Monday through Friday at noon. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind. Coming up, it's 1 p.m.
Hey, New York City and surrounding areas, welcome back to The Positive Mind, bringing you a beautiful day here in New York City, and some ideas and guests and strategies to help you lead a more positively minded life. I'm Kevin O'Donoghue with Ben Starr. What a day today, Ben.
It's just gorgeous.
They're rating it as one of the top 5 days of the year.
Well, it's not just the sun, it's the dryness, because the humidity is what gets me.
Right.
And it's beautiful, it's sunny, and it is dry today, yeah. Which is really nice.
And I can't wait for the evening. For me, summer evenings, humidity or not, are always great. Last night was a great summer evening. Tonight is going to be another great summer evening. So we thought we'd talk to you about being outdoors today and how it helps people, right? It helps people, being outdoors. You know this. You know, do you have somebody in your life who's anxious? Take them for a walk. If you're chronically anxious, go for a walk with somebody. You know, they say that walking increases talkativeness, that it makes you more talkative.
More creative.
More creative. Physically healthier, but positive emotions. There's so many benefits of walking and being outdoors. That, you know, you can go test it for today. If you have a friend or somebody in your life who is suffering and struggling, take them outside for a walk. I'm telling you, folks, it really works. As you well know, I think we all do know this, but today we want to talk about how walking works for you. What do you do? Where do you go? What walks are more restorative, more healthy, beneficial? What are good walks for you? We want to talk, we're here talking about mental health always, but we want to hear mental health practices, really good mental health practices, and walking is one of the top five. You know, they used to say, Ben, an apple a day
keeps the doctor away.
That's right. But I think it's a walk a day.
Well, the fascinating thing, Kevin, is that even though a lot of this may seem like stating the obvious, I mean, how many of us had a parent or an adult in our lives who told us as kids, get outside, go play outside, you know, don't sit in front of the TV, don't sit in the dark,
yep.
Right? Get outside. And this is sort of common sense, but what's exciting about it is that in recent years, in the last 5 to 10 years, there's been a litany of studies that have come out from institutions around the country and around the world that have actually shown the scientific data that backs up this idea that there are just all these myriad benefits of being outside, right? It boosts your energy.
No question.
It's good for your vision. Actually,
really?
Helps, right. It, children who spend more time outdoors are less likely to develop nearsightedness. And in other studies have found that natural sunlight can mitigate pain. Patients who had been exposed to high-intensity sunlight reported less stress. And less pain.
People who are in a hospital, Ben, who can look out a window and see a tree, are reportedly recover faster. They recover faster than people stuck in the interior of the building. So we want to talk today about nature walking. We want your calls, 212-757-5555. We want your wisdom, what you already know about walking. Do you find that you're a better decider, you make better decisions after you go for a walk?
We're talking today about the benefits of being outside, of outdoor activity. As it is a gorgeous day here in New York City, if you're just joining us, you are tuned into The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM. We were experiencing some mild technical difficulties, but we're back. Everyone is with us. Thank you for tuning in. Kevin and I were just discussing the benefits of being outdoors, the benefits of sunlight, the benefits of getting out of the house in weather like today. So far, what did we say, Kevin? The benefits to vision, right? Especially in children. Children who spend more time outside, less likely to develop nearsightedness.
Right.
Helps mitigate pain. Studies shown that surgery patients who were exposed to more sunlight reported less stress and less pain and wound up taking less pain medication.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
It's also a boost to the immune system. Scientists believe that breathing in the airborne chemicals produced by plants can increase our levels of white blood cells, which helps us in our immune system.
Wow. Terrific. And it's a good place to meet somebody and go for a walk, right? I mean, if you're having a feud with somebody, a fight, an argument with somebody, you know, doesn't it make more sense to meet them outside? Go meet them in a park and go for a walk, because we know that being outdoors and walking improves or increases your talkativeness. You'll more likely talk to an extent where you'll work it out if you're in a walk than if you are sitting across a table from somebody.
You know, a lot of psychologists believe that exposure to nature helps us move beyond societal and social pressures and lets us get back in touch with what matters, with the more important things in life, like relationships, family, community, and gets us away from the focusing on the riffraff and the rat race and the stresses and pressures of life.
It clears things out. You know, so we want your calls today, 212-757-5555. We want to know where what your secret is, where your secret walking is. Do you take the subway and go an extra stop or an extra – you stop an early stop? I know people that do this. They get off a stop before their stop, and they walk to work, you know, or they walk to wherever they're going.
Well,
I think it's a great, great practice.
Yeah,
I just
breaking up routine like that can actually forge new neural pathways. It keeps our brain very active, keeps our brain working harder.
Right. And they say just being outdoors is a non-threatening, most of the time, it's a non-threatening, stress-relieving environment. So you're taking in all of this wonder or this natural stuff in nature, and it's a stress reliever, stress reducer. So it makes you sharper and more alive to diversity and different things and seeing different things. So if you don't get off your stop early, give it a try or go one stop further and jazz it up a little bit.
It's especially, Kevin, so important here in the city. And most of our listeners are within the five boroughs in very urbanized, very built up places. And there are five types of pollution out there, right? There's land pollution, which would be things like trash, air pollution, right? Water pollution. Mm. And the last two, light pollution and noise pollution, which affect us so much here in the city. And getting out to nature, getting out of the city, getting even within the city. I mean, think about all the places there are and the opportunities within the five boroughs, whether it's Central Park, Alley Pond Park, the Rockaways, Prospect Park, Van Cortlandt Park. All these places, these little refuges that exist to allow us to decompress, to get that time away from the various stressors, especially the noise.
Yeah, I think all of them, Ben. I mean, I just think all of them. Notice your mood difference. If you go to a beach, notice what it does to you, you know, when you come back from the beach. There's definitely an article. I didn't check that one out that you sent me, but there's an article on positive effects of going to the beach, the mental health benefits of going to the beach. So we want your calls today. Here in the city, where can you connect with nature? Where can you walk and see nature? And do you notice when you go back to your apartment or go back to your office, something different? You know, is there something going on mentally, cognitively, that you notice, you can clearly say? So we're going to say today, not an apple a day, but a walk a day will keep the doctor away. An apple's good for a gastroenterologist guy. It'll keep him away.
Well, just going on a walk, Kevin, we've seen also studies that show that the mental benefits of going on a walk can last up to 7 hours.
Right.
So just taking that 15, 20 minutes at some point in the day, finding that time to just take a walk, preferably through a green area, through a park or green space, that can potentially have positive effects that last for up to 7 hours.
212-757-5555. We want your input. We want to know what you do for yourself. It's got to be one of the top three, four, five exercises, things you can do to maintain your mental health here in New York City. But going for a walk, we want to know where you go, if you notice the benefits of going on a walk, what kind of differences you see, Ben. You know, we want to talk a little bit about something called the Guilford Alternative Use Test, GAU in psychology. It's the GAU test, and you can look it up. Guilford is GUILFORD. Alternate use test. And they found that when people go out for walks, when they come back, they can find creative solutions to problems that they wouldn't be able to do if they sat in their seat and stayed there. So, you know, take and they use an object, right? Ben, take a pen or a paperclip.
Okay, I got it.
And give me three alternative uses for a pen.
For the pen?
Yeah.
I guess I could use it as a poker if I wanted to reach across the desk and poke you.
Right.
Yeah.
You could do that. Right. And two others, right? Right. It's hard to just come up with alternative uses, but this is a psychological test, the Guilford Alternative Use Test.
Well, I can use it to punch in the keys on this telephone.
That's
here,
right.
Or this keyboard.
Uh-huh. There you go. There you go. Anything else?
I could put it behind my ear.
You could use it
as a statement that I'm a creative type.
And you could use it to scratch your back or
sure.
scratch part of your body. So these are alternative uses to objects. Well, this test, they did this test before and after people went for a walk. They did it for people sitting in a desk. They did it for people outdoors going for a walk. And they did it with people being wheeled in a wheelchair outdoors. And they found that the people that went out for a walk, and not just any walk, a walk in, actually, and they had one other. They had walking on a treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
Inside, as opposed to outside. Yeah, yeah. And they found that walking outside, the people that came back from that, 82% had an 82% increase in alternative uses for a pen or a paperclip or any object in the environment. And that when you sat down or when you were on the treadmill, it did not have that effect. So we're wondering if you can identify and connect with that. I know that I can. When I'm outdoors, when I go for a walk outdoors, and because I'm working in Manhattan, I go out three times a day at least and just walk four blocks around the block, you know, one city block, and just notice anything different and take an alternate route another day. You know, I always try and jazz it up. Does it do something for you? What does it do for you? 212-757-5555. We want to take your calls on the benefits of walking. You know, it's a great place to meet people. People go out to the dog run. You know, a dog is a great excuse to get out into New York City nature.
Yeah.
You know? But, again, if you're a shy person, if you're a person who has difficulty connect, a dog will do all the words, you know, will do the talking for you. 212-757-5555. We're talking about, you know, mental health practices, things that you do that we want you to tell other people. Where in the city do you notice a difference walking down, you know, between avenues, like, you know, from one avenue to another versus walking up avenues or down avenues? Do you? Do you, Ben?
I like the calm and quiet of a side street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's me personally. But I think one of the things we're so lucky about here in the New York area is there's such a great amount of coastline that we can take advantage of and so many waterfront parks in all five boroughs, whether you're on the river.
Recently, though, right?
On the harbor.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, or even, you know, the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, there's ample opportunity to get out and even just be on the water. I know for me, that always kind of eases my mind.
Right.
Just
what train goes out to Far Rockaway, let's say?
The A train.
Or the Rockaways.
Yeah.
Is that the only train that will take you out to a beach?
I think you could take the railroad out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even in Manhattan, think about how many parks there are on the east side and the west side right on the water.
Mm-hmm.
on the waterfront in Queens or Brooklyn. There are plenty of parks. Actually, one just opened in Brooklyn, in Williamsburg. A new waterfront
park.
Brand new, just opened.
Really?
Yeah.
How big?
Pretty big, if I'm not mistaken.
That's a lot of real estate. That's prime commercial real estate.
I think it's called Domino's Park because it's by the Domino factory.
212-757-5555. Come on, you walkers out there. Give us a call. Let us know the benefits. Maybe you're outdoors now. Maybe you're enjoying this beautiful day, but we're inside trying to talk about good mental health practices and going for a walk. Again, it's something that you can take somebody who's struggling, going through a divorce, somebody who's really in a troubled relationship, and they just need to talk it out with somebody. Being outdoors will do it for them. They'll get more likely get to the end of their thinking if they're walking and talking than if they're indoors.
It's 6 acres, by the way, the new park.
6 acres.
And it just opened two Sundays ago, designed by the same people who did the High Line in Manhattan.
Seriously.
So it's the newest park in the city, and it's a waterfront park. Looks nice.
Now, why would a city decide to take prime real estate like that and provide it to the city dwellers?
Well, study after study shows that green space and outdoor activity, like we mentioned earlier, has a very real impact, positive impact on communities and on individuals' mental health.
Why should cities care?
Well, I think happier people, happier city, a better place to live.
People get along better. I guess, you know, it calms the beast. Being able to go out into a green space, into a park in a city, calms people down. It keeps people calmer. 212-757-5555. Walkers and talkers. So city, it makes sense. And there's a formula, right? They're designing new cities with a formula for green spaces.
Just experiencing nature. I mean, we know it helps people recover from fatigue, whether it's from work, from studies, right? School. It's places for physical activity. It's places for children to be children.
Yeah.
You know, there's a myriad of benefits. And
for the elderly. To get out and walk. You know that for Alzheimer's, the best thing for Alzheimer's, they're saying, is for physical activity. You know, a lot of people are trying these get mom or dad to read or to do mental games or, you know, trying to do puzzles or different types of things, and they're saying no.
You've had a personal experience with Alzheimer's in your family.
Yes.
Did you find that to be true?
Absolutely true. Better yet, take them dancing. Now, that will really work, you know. I mean, that's a physical activity that, you know, is better for the brain, for people struggling with dementia, than trying to comprehend something, an abstract concept. So physical activity. So what about your brain, you know, the young and developing brain? 212-757-5555.
There are times, Kevin, where personally I feel the calling to get out into some green space. Even if it's just a local park, you know, even if it's just a local green area, a single block of green space. I mean,
when does that happen, Ben? Talk about that, you know, because I think that's a good point. I mean, do people get to a boiling point when they say, I've got to get outside?
For me, it's very dependent on the weather. I know after the humidity passed, the recent humidity we had at the end of last week and this weekend, and we got a little bit cooler and drier air that came through at the end of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
All I could think about was, how can I rearrange my schedule this week to find a way out to the beach when it won't be so crowded?
Yeah,
I haven't made it out there yet, but I'm working on it.
Okay, but is there an inner restlessness that you're feeling? That makes you say, okay, I've been indoors for way too long. I think I know it's time for me to get out.
Yeah, I'd say so. And I mean, I know from just having read a lot on the subject that there is real hard concrete evidence that parks and green space actually do make people happier. And I think that part of us seeks that out when we're seeking that little extra boost of happiness.
Yeah. 212-757-5555. Did you deliberately move to your neighborhood because you were near a park? Or near a green space, or near the water, Just, you know, did you deliberately choose a place? I mean, a lot of people choose a place because of the subway stop. But also, you know, a lot of people choose because they have a chance to walk their dog somewhere. They have a chance to be outside, to see, you know, different sights. So we want to know what kind of effect this has on you. Has it worked? Has moving to a place where there are green spaces, has it improved your life? Is it different living in Brooklyn than living in Manhattan?
Definitely, I would say. I mean, I don't live in
Staten Island. How about even Staten Island? You know, Staten Islanders see water a lot, right, when they come over the bridge. Or
yeah, and I think it's also generally greener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. A tree does grow in Brooklyn, right?
But we know that the influence, the happiness influence of living near a green space is roughly correlates to about a third the size of the happiness influence of being married.
Told me about this.
Yeah, there was a study of over 10,000 people.
Right.
And they, you know, they controlled for all different types of factors, like whether they were married or single,
mm-hmm.
Whether they were employed, and other differences in life and lifestyle.
Right.
And they found that there is a very real, measurable boost in happiness from living near the park or living near a green space.
Hmm. Do you live near a green space and your friends don't? And you know, you think that you're happier and they think you're happier. I grew up with a friend who lived next to a park, and he was certainly happier than most of the guys in my neighborhood. You know, he had access to the park 24/7, and he had a dog also. So even in school, you know, he had this calm about him. You know, he had – it's like he brought the outdoors with him to school. You know what, like a farmer who would go to a library or go into an inner – place that they bring the farm with them. Well, he would bring this park with him wherever he went. I mean, it was a noticeable physical thing.
As a kid, that's prime real estate.
As a kid that you could see on him. And he still has it. He still has, like, this sense of connection to nature and being outdoors. And, you know, right now he lives near an ocean, so he wouldn't do anything. He wouldn't move to a place where he couldn't be next to nature. But how about you? Did you live near a building? Did you grow up in the Upper West Side? Do you long to live closer to nature? What do you do now that you're living here in the city to get away from the city, to really get in touch with nature? Ben, in those studies that we were researching, they said even grass growing between, like, sidewalks, even that is enough for people to feel the benefits of a walk. It's almost like a walk in nature, but even just that little sliver is enough to enhance, you know, the capacity, the Guilford alternative use test to do better on that. So it really has some power. Being in nature really has some power. And, you know, I feel it, and I wonder, you know, Ben obviously feels it. We want to know if you feel it and what a good walk does for you. It doesn't take long. You know, it's not like you have to go out for an hour's walk. All the great entrepreneurs, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, you know, all these heads
and
of companies, Beethoven.
Yeah, Beethoven,
you know,
was known to go on long walks. Charles Dickens.
Charles Darwin, they all were notorious. Charles Darwin had a gravel circular road on his property that he walked on every day just to be outdoors. But he liked the sound of gravel in his ear. So he had a circular gravel road built on his property to enhance his creativity. So he knew it without the science that we now know. But he knew it kind of intuitively. So what are you doing to feel that sort of creativity that the great, great entrepreneurs and creative artists have done? Even though you're living here in a city, do you have a secret? If you have a secret, is it out on the street, out on your walking? 212-757-5555.
I'd say leave the cell phone at home or in the office or wherever, or in the car.
Yeah.
Just leave it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That is, I guess, an important aspect of going for a walk. Do you take a daily walk at your lunch break? I know, you know, do smokers, you know, go for walks? I mean, you see the smokers in doorways, but you know, do you see them walking with their cigarettes? I mean, it's more common to see them standing still, right? Why is that? I wonder.
I think it's a bit of a social thing.
So you're connecting with people.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an excuse to strike up a conversation.
Right.
I think all the smokers in respective buildings must know each other. Just have a little troop.
Do you see each other on the elevators and you nod and like, oh, you're one of me. I can smell you, you know. How about the smell of nature on people?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we wish people could have that. 212-757-5555. The benefits of nature and walking. You know, Ben, it's they say by 2049, two-thirds of the world population will be living in cities.
Incredible.
And they are designing cities with green spaces in mind.
Well, we just talked about living just a few weeks ago, Kevin.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is the first time in human history that more than 50% of people in the world live in cities. And as you said, we're on track to have the vast majority of the world's population living in urban environments. So I think it's going to become more and more important than ever to make sure to take advantage of green spaces and take advantage of our opportunities to get out there.
And have an input in how your city is designing your green spaces. People get to vote and to declare and ask, you know, and design alternative green spaces. It's not just the city designs it. The people in the surrounding community do get to have a say and an input. So cities coming in the future are really going to be getting a lot of feedback from people. What would be an important aspect of a green space for you? Right? If you were to design a green space in your neighborhood, I mean...
Trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The same tree? Or multiple different trees?
Multiple trees. I mean, unfortunately, you can't just up and have 150-year-old tree, right?
Yeah.
But right. Trees, the more the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they're saying. Like I said about the hospital, people who stay in hospitals and are by a window that they can see a tree, they recover faster. So trees are definitely one of the aspects. But also a diverse trees. The more, you know, they're finding the greater variety of trees in a space, the more mental health benefits it would have. And you kind of see that, right? I mean, it's a stimulative effect. You're not looking at a big blanket of green and brown. You're looking at a variety of trees. And that naturally makes you distinguish and do mental gymnastics to notice and identify differences. So
I'll tell you
trees,
this.
What
I
mean, else would you want?
We're in Midtown here, Kevin, and occasionally when it's nice out, I'll walk up to Central Park and just do a little quick loop. And I don't even have to get 15 yards into the park to taste and smell the change in the air quality.
Mm.
And all that comes down to is trees. So I think that's why it's so important for us to protect our green spaces, to make use of our green spaces, to cherish our green spaces, and to really take advantage. Because if you live or work near one, you're really lucky. And it's something that we found through our research that has tremendous health benefits, mental and physical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So different plant life, Ben, too. 212-757-5555. So let's before we go to the break, you know, there's another test, Ben, Barron's Symbolic Equivalence Test. Barron's, B-A-R-R-O-N, apostrophe, a symbolic equivalence test. And they found that people who go for walks do 95% better on this test than people that stay in and don't get exposed to nature. And basically it's finding an analogy, finding a connection between or metaphors for something. So, for instance, let's say I said a light bulb burning out. Can you think of a metaphor like that? A light bulb burning out on its last leg. What would be similar in nature or in a man-made world? Like a car running out of gas.
Yeah.
Right?
A candle burning down to the end.
A candle burning out. How about a life? A life, an old life. Dying out. So these are metaphors, and your capacity to find metaphors, they call it analogies. Barron's symbolic equivalence, a generation of analogies, that is 95% greater coming back from a walk than if you did not. So what about, let's say, an empty, a robbed safe?
A robbed safe. How about an empty lunchbox?
Or an empty refrigerator.
Sure.
But Ben, that's a very good point because, you know, they found that going for a walk increased the complexity of your metaphor. So if you sat in a room, you could come up with that one, right? I mean, mm-hmm. an empty refrigerator. But if you...
A used up tube of toothpaste.
Yeah, a used up tube of toothpaste. But, but if you walked in nature, the complexity of it increased. For instance, I'm not going to say that one. But, yeah, so it increased your creativity. Again, this is called the Barron's Symbolic Equivalence Test. And we're going to go to a break. 212-757-5555. You must be out walking, folks. If you're out walking, feel free to give us a call. We're talking about the benefits of walking, being outdoors, mental health, and your secret for how you get rejuvenated and restored here in this big city.
Joy airs here on 99.5 FM WBAI. You are tuned into The Positive Mind here every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. And yes, everybody loves the sunshine. Today we're talking about the myriad benefits of being outdoors, especially here in the city where life can get hectic, very stressful. Kevin, what are those physiological drawbacks and psychological drawbacks of city life?
Anxiety goes up, stress goes up, depression goes up.
Because of the noise or?
Yeah, and I think actually the lack of mobility, you know, the lack of access to the external world. I think, you know, we had many, 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 many centuries of living outdoors, being exposed to the outdoors every day. And it's only like the last 300-400 years we've been living indoors. So in comparison to the length of our existence, man's existence, city living is really an anomaly in terms of history, the history of the human race. So naturally anxiety is going to go up. Naturally depression is going to go up. Isolation, schizophrenia. You know, schizophrenia is 2.5 more times more rampant in the cities than in rural settings. Why? Why is that?
Well, I'll never forget.
Environmental factors also.
A little while back, I was talking to someone about their love-hate relationship with New York City and what the things that kind of drove them crazy about living in the city.
Yeah.
And he said it's like a sexy jail, is exactly how he put it. Mm. And I'll never forget that. He said, yeah, it's bright, it's flashy, it's exciting, but in a sense, everything is metal and concrete.
Yeah.
And you're kind of stuck here. There's an inertia of the city that keeps us here.
Yeah, and there's an excitement, though. I mean, there's man-generated excitement.
Hence the sexy part of
it,
right?
Yeah, there's a lot of diversity.
Sure.
I wouldn't leave this city. I wouldn't, you know, but I understand for a visitor coming and saying it's a sexy jail.
Well, no, this guy was a native New Yorker.
A native.
Born and raised.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't give up the diversity. You can create your own free open park, all your own. You can get out of the jail here in the city. Armand used to say, you know, you have to get in step with the city. You have to get in rhythm with the city. If you're not in the rhythm, you're lost.
It
eats you up.
Yeah.
So I think that's still good advice. Get into the rhythm. And the diversity, Ben, is really very good for the prefrontal cortex and cognitive development in general also. So there are so many benefits of living in a city. But it can become too much. And again, with the history of mankind, our evolutionary history, it's still an anomaly to be living in a city. So it makes sense that we would suffer mood disorders more frequently than people in rural settings. That we would, you know, get stress. Chronic stress can lead to anxiety and depression. Loneliness, you know, 12% of the people, well, 40% of people in cities claim to be lonely.
Which is a great irony.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a city of 8.5 million people, and so many people are experiencing this crippling loneliness.
And 52% of Londoners, people in London, claim to be lonely. And that was only in 1980, it was only 20% in the United States people claimed to be lonely. People living by themselves has gone up. In 1974, only 6% of the people lived by themselves. Now it's 12%.
Yeah, I think the average household size in New York City is under 2 people.
Really?
Something like 1.6 or 1.8 people.
Yeah. So getting outside, connecting with people, experiencing positive emotions is a must for our survival as a species. And I think city planning is including green spaces and ways for people to meet each other and connect deliberately because they don't want a mental health epidemic on their hands. The word for this hour, this half hour, Ben, I didn't get to say this, is salubrious. Do you know what? Salubrious. The walk I took was most salubrious.
Positive, healthy, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It had a healthy effect on my system. Salubrious. It just is a musical word, right? Salubrious. So, you know,
I could see
it
you've
sounds
been waiting,
like how it feels, right?
All day to say that word.
I have. I wanted
it's
to
a good
start,
word.
I wanted to start the
it's
show with that.
It's a good word. The word of the day, salubrious.
Yeah.
Means healthy.
Yes. And a positive, wholesome effect. So going for a walk has a most salubrious effect on a person's mood. So I can't tell you how many people I tell, part of treating them is to tell them, do you go for walks? Do you get outside? It's free. Go outdoors. It's waiting for you. What about it, Ben?
Well, I think also the beach. The beach for me is one of the places to be when the weather gets nice. I mean, whenever they do the state happiness rankings, Hawaii is always one of the happiest states, if not the top spot. Because everybody in Hawaii lives, you know, within a stone's throw of the beach.
Right.
You know, it's there. Mm. There's something to be said for the beach. That vitamin C, if you will.
Right. 212-757-5555. If you moved from a city to a beach and you're within our voice, the sound of our voice, call and tell people what has been the benefit of moving into nature and being exposed to nature daily, done for your mood. What does it do for you? You can do that here in New York City. Just go out. You know, Ben, driving down the Hudson, what is it? The Henry Hudson Parkway. Once you see the water, I mean, does it have that effect on you? That's called the restorative effect. It immediately brings a sense of...
When it kind of goes uphill around 59th Street?
Yeah, but I'm talking about coming down. Uh-huh. Coming down like 96th.
Okay.
Around 96th Street from the Bronx. You really see this water and you get a rush. Like, oh, what is that rush? It's like I'm back in connection with my primal nature. The phone is not working. That's what the problem is. We just received a text from a caller. Our phone is not working for some reason. 212-757. No wonder, Ben. I don't know. Did we check the phones?
It seems to be okay on this end. I don't know.
Oh, okay. So maybe we're not going to. Thanks, Janine, for that note. All right. Thank you. That makes sense because this is a hot topic. Maybe people will want to call us tomorrow. We'll figure out what's going on with the phone. 212-757-5555. Nothing you can do?
Yeah, sometimes it just happens that way.
Okay.
Technical difficulties.
Okay. Well we're glad one of our frequent callers and friends let us know what the story is. Who knows why?
Yeah, it looks like we have a number of missed calls on our phone system. So somehow there's a disconnect, and we're not able to take those calls, unfortunately. But thank you to those of you who at least tried to participate.
I think we should
today.
Try it again tomorrow. I mean, I do want to hear from people here in the city what they do, what their escape is, what way we can just we'll see how that develops. What do you think?
Yeah.
You know, I want to see. See how people get their rejuvenation, their restoration, their revival. So, again, I was talking about access to water, something about a river. I mean, I wonder if there's a study about the effects of living near a lake versus a river versus an ocean versus a pond,
Well, a day at the beach actually does psychologically and physiologically unwind us. There's something about the blue of the water. The sound of the crashing waves, it kind of eases our minds, kind of unwinds all the stress factors,
right,
and allows us to just be and relax.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you see so many people make it a point as soon as the weather gets nice, they're out there with the towels and the umbrellas and the whole thing.
I think they've done studies, Ben, that people go to the beach because of the sound, that they go to an ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Because... What is that sound, right? The sound of an ocean.
It's the sound of being in the womb.
Right.
Yeah.
And they've done psychological studies. People go to the beach, the ocean, for the sound. You think it's like when you, last week we talked about coming into like a stadium and seeing the stadium and that ah feeling. And that when you go to the beach, you get that ah feeling.
Sure.
But the ah feeling at the beach is sustained and maintained through the sound of the surf.
Here's an interesting study for you. So you were just speaking earlier about how it's sort of unnatural that we live in cities, right? That we didn't evolve and develop to be physiologically ready for this experience of living in this crushed, cramped space with, tens of thousands of people surrounding us wherever we went, loud noises, overstimulation. University of Colorado has found that they can alleviate even the worst cases of insomnia. And all it takes is 7 days camping trip. 7 days in the wilderness will completely reset your circadian rhythms. You'll rise with the sun and go to sleep with the sunset.
I'm getting a text from Janine. It was telling me that every night she sits out on her porch and watches the sunset, and every morning she wakes up to the sunrise.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the way.
That's a rhythm.
That is the rhythm.
So tomorrow, Janine, call us and tell us, do you have a normal, you know, a natural sleep cycle? Do you wake with the sun and go to bed with the dark? I mean, how do you maintain that? It sounds like a great cure. There's no cable TV out in nature, Ben, you know?
Well, yeah, that's a big part of it is the screen time.
Yeah.
It's very, very harmful to our sleep cycle. I'm guilty of it myself. I mean,
how
many of us look at the phone or the TV or the computer screen just minutes before bed?
Right.
And that is preventing us from getting to sleep faster and preventing us from having sounder, deeper sleep. So apparently, University of Colorado found, they did a study about five years ago, that 7 days in the wilderness.
That's all it takes.
They found that there was synchronization of everyone's circadian clocks for each and every participant in their study, regardless of whether they were predisposed to being an early bird or a night owl. 7 days in the wilderness. Now, we don't all have 7 days to just get out up into the woods. I wish we could. I think we'd be a better society for it if we had, you know, 7 paid days off of woods, wilderness time.
Yeah.
Sure.
Or sleeping near a window, right? If your apartment is really close to some nature, you know, that back window of yours. I mean, I wonder if you have trouble sleeping, that would be a good place to set up camp for a night. You know, I think it must be something. Is it the gravitational pull of the earth? I mean, the circadian rhythms. Let's look that up for tomorrow.
I think a big part of it is just rising with the sun and going to sleep when it gets dark.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
right.
What,
I mean, there's not a lot of options
it's
after
what we're
the
meant
sun
to
goes
be doing,
down out and
you know,
camping.
It's what we're meant to do.
There's not a lot of options. So you might as well try to get your system regulated. So
and leave the phone at home.
And leave the phone and no blue light.
Exactly.
There's no blue light reflecting off the walls. Well, we're going to have to take calls tomorrow, 212-757-5555. What do we want to get people ready for? I wonder if it helps with ADHD.
I believe it does.
Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. To actually be out in nature as a treatment for ADHD. I'm curious. We're going to look that up for tomorrow. Also, this idea of circadian rhythms. I want to look that up for tomorrow. But we want your input tomorrow. And we'll be taking your calls. We'll have this phone situation checked out, 212-757-5555. If you know of the metaphors I'm talking about, if you're going for a walk tonight, see if you can find a metaphor for a light bulb burning out. Or three metaphors yourself. We'd like to post them on our website. You know, or a robbed safe, or a budding cocoon, Ben. There's one. A budding cocoon. Hey, we have a call. It's coming through. We'll see if it comes through. That worked. 212-757-5555. Who is it?
This is Ronald Toro. I just wanted to mention something.
Ronald, we're glad you're the only guy that got through, so we're so happy to hear you. Go ahead.
Actually, she told me that it just came back on.
Okay.
I was just thinking, because I just came from the outside, and I can't go outside too much, because I have one of those conditions that nowadays is almost as prevalent as a common cold. I hate to even say that.
Okay.
You know.
That's terrible. Talking,
oncology stuff, you know.
Oh, I understand.
I don't want to even use the name.
No,
anyway,
I understand.
You know, I live by the Pelham Bay area, but even though I grew up in the South Bronx, but now, you know, for about 20 years, I live in the Pelham Bay area, and my window opens up to Pelham Bay Park across the street, across the Bruckner Highway, but it's pretty familiar around here because it's just private houses, and I live in a building, but it's only 4 stories, and it's above the 3-story houses that are in the back in my window.
You have a view.
So my window is open to the park and the backyards of the people, the green grass, the grapevine, and then the tremendous amount of trees. Even in the winter, I think of them as centuries that hold the land together. Because I'm always opening my window, looking at it, or leaving the window open.
What a gift.
You know, so what I was thinking about the outside, I realize you're in a hurry. Everything we do is inside.
Everything.
That stops us.
Everything.
Even to go see the girlfriend. Okay, I'm 78 now, but even to go see the girlfriend,
that's right.
You're indoors.
Yep.
You're on your job, you're indoors. In other words, you have to deal with the rules and regulations indoors,
yes.
And all evaluations of you are right there.
And that's right. The truth is outdoors.
The green grass.
Right.
You know, I had a dog before I got ill. Now my granddaughter has them. I was in a park every day.
Ronald, I want to ask you one thing. I want you to call us tomorrow. I'll give our audience this chance to hear more from you tomorrow, but also tell me, how do you sleep at night?
I sleep well because I leave my window. Windows are open, weather permitting, at any time. And when I first moved in, the sound of the cars, I got to admit, on the highway. But in a short period of time, you don't even notice it. I've been here 25 years.
Ronald, we'll count on you calling us tomorrow. Thanks a lot.
Okay, then.
Have a good day.
Stay well. Thank you.
You too. 212-757. We got our phones back. Ben, I'm getting a text from Laura. She's asking about bathing in the forest and its development of natural killer cells. Well, we're going to review that for tomorrow. Laura, if you have any information on that, send it to me, Kevin, at The Positive Mind. I'm curious about it, but I think any kind of shower or rain out al natural, out in nature, is definitely restorative and healthy, and I recommend it. We have Rennie on the line. Hey, Rennie.
Hi,
how are you?
Good, good. I just wanted to share my thoughts of
Thanks for calling.
I used to do to bounce back. It was going on nature.
Yes.
I used for 40 years, I was hiding underwater. A scuba diver, and I used to dive the local waters from New Jersey all the way up to Maine. And we used to do shallow and deep dives. We did Long Island Sound. We were out like Saturday, Sunday, basically every weekend, weather permitting.
We only have 3 minutes. How did it feel when you took off all your equipment and went back indoors? Tell me about it.
So relieved. It was an awesome feeling always, and everybody on the boat said the same thing.
Right.
Or if it was not the boat, we did mostly boat diving, but if it was from shore, it was the same thing. We were all so relaxed because many of them had high stress jobs, and they just wanted to decompress, and it just did the trick every time, no matter what.
Will you do me a favor? Will you just do with me, just say, just like you took off all your all your scuba gear.
Yes, and then it was the load was light again. You know,
it was
nice. And now since I've gotten a little older, I can't take the cold water anymore. So I go in the woods. I go mushrooming, collect mushrooms in the woods with my friends.
Yes,
and it has the same components. You have these wonderful people. You get to talk. You have a good camaraderie, and you get to bring something home to eat, like from underwater.
Yes.
Just different things.
Fantastic. Rennie, thank you for calling. Call us again tomorrow. You're going to kick us off tomorrow, all right? 212-757-5555. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, terrific. Yeah, it's that restorative effect, the restorative effect. We were wondering where all you people were. We know that you like a good experience out in nature. Call and tell us tomorrow if you can't get through now. We have maybe, Ben, room for one more. What do you think?
We're right up against
it. Right up against it. Okay, tomorrow, 212-757-5555. Laura, send me that stuff. Janine, thanks for giving me a heads up. We got it fixed. And all the rest of you, we would love to hear from you tomorrow. I think this is such a great topic. And it draws on the wisdom that people have. We don't need to have the wisdom. Everybody has this wisdom, and I want all of New York City and everywhere to hear. How being outdoors, how being in nature restores us.
Just positive, healthy way to be, to relax.
Yeah.
To have leisure. So thanks to everyone who called. Sorry about those technical difficulties. You have been listening to The Positive Mind. We're here every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. I want to thank you again for tuning in, for calling in. We'll be back tomorrow here on 99.5 FM WBAI. And stay tuned for the Artsy Fartsy Show.